Let's pray together. Lord, we believe you have a word for each one of us. So free us from those things that may be clouding our minds so that we can hear your word tailor-made for us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, this week I begin a three-month sabbatical, and I was trying to figure out on what I preach about and what scripture should I use, and for some reason I kept coming back to this psalm, the 23rd psalm, maybe the most known psalm we have, I don't know, I think so. And I like this psalm for a number of reasons, and you'll see why we do, but let's go ahead and begin with these agree-disagree questions. How many people think people work too hard? Do you agree or disagree? Agree. Disagree. All right. How about this one? More people are stressed today than previous generations. Do you think so? Come on. Are your kids as stressed as you are? Maybe. All right. How about this one? Everyone needs to slow down. So, I don't know if you saw the sermon preview. I've titled this Speed Bumps. You know, sometimes people try to cut through our parking lot, right? And they go through at a pretty good clip. So, we installed some speed bumps because sometimes, you know, people get going too fast, and a speed bump has that way of slowing you down, maybe. When we were in Guatemala, literally, they would put a speed bump on the highway to make sure you would slow down. A speed bump, okay? Literally, everyone slows down for the speed bump. I signed up for a new insurance company, or with the new insurance company, and I think they want me to slow down, and they don't even know me, okay? They gave me this little tracker thing that you put on your windshield, right? I think it's like their angel button. I have no idea, except that every now and then when I'm driving with it, I'm going, I wonder if right now someone's watching me or if they're realizing how fast I'm going. I think the goal is to get us to slow down because insurance companies might feel that if you drive slower, you might be safer, right? And if you're one of these that drives real fast or start and stop real quickly or something like that, you might not be that good driver. They tell me I'm going to get a discount. I'll get back to you on this one if it works. But they want me to slow down. And I think we need to slow down, don't we, at times? You know, we get going through life, and it just seems like everybody's traveling at the same clip, so I just need to take it and do what everybody else is doing. And yet, I don't care what profession you're in, wouldn't you agree that there's always more work to do than get done? Debbie and I were cleaning out the garage. I think we could spend a whole sabbatical on one part of our garage. It's amazing what we have, what we collect. And trying to balance all these different things with our family and work and relationships, and wanting to spend time with grandbabies and take enough time for ourselves. You know, we have all these things to try to prioritize, and it's a challenge. And I do believe it's good for all of us to slow down. Anne-Marie gave me an excellent article in the Chronicle about Shabbat, about taking the Sabbath and being rejuvenated and, you know, 6 days work and one day of rest. And yet it's easy to even work on those days of rest. We were watching one of the sports events, and it was talking about how even professional athletes have to get rest so that they can be renewed and restored. And that's a little bit of what this is talking about. How about this? Everybody lives in fear. Do you agree or disagree? Kinda, huh? Not sure about that one. You'll think about that a lot. How about this one? The more I follow God, the less hassles I will have. Okay, if you agree, would you move to this side of the sanctuary? And if you disagree, stay over here. No, I don't know. You know, yes and no, right? Sometimes we would hope we're more balanced in dealing with life circumstances. And yet, wouldn't you also agree that all of us experience mountaintops and valleys, just like the 23rd Psalm says? And most people think they are missing out of something. Agree? Afterwards, maybe. We look back and we go, ah, I missed it. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. And we kind of have that mentality. So, you know, we have this 23rd Psalm that speaks to so many different things. But one of the things I want you to do today, and I don't want you to leave the sanctuary without doing it, is I want you to place yourself somewhere in this psalm. Right now, are you beside the still waters, the green pastures? Or do you find yourself in the valley? I want you to think about where you are right now. Whether it's a health-related issue, whether it's, you know, what the future holds. Will I make it? Will I not? Will my family be okay? Just to know what people are going through. We have no idea what the person next to us in the pew maybe is going through. Anne-Marie and David and myself, we can tell you there's a lot going on with people, family members and anniversaries and different things that we have no idea what someone might be facing and the challenges that they have. So we have this affirmation, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look at all these verbs. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I had a counselor one time say, your body will make you get sleep at some point. You can only run so fast, so long. And at some point, your body's going to tell you, we're going to get rest one way or another. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I know some of you are in a valley this morning. Challenge. Difficulties that all people face. Or maybe you know a friend or a loved one that's going through a difficult season. But this psalm says that God is with us. Now, what I think is kind of interesting is, do you know Psalm 22? I bet if I start some of it, it'll kick in. My God, why has... Oh, you know the psalm. Isn't that interesting? Psalm 22 talks about, God, are you even there? That's why I love the Psalms. We can be honest with our feelings about faith and doubt and God's presence and who we are and what we're going through. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the next Psalm we have is, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. How full is your cup today? Those of us that have had the opportunity to serve on medical mission trips or go to other countries, we know that we're blessed, aren't we? And we take a lot of blessings, things, people for granted. You'll hear more about this. So what do these verses say about God? These are great questions about, you can do with almost any scripture, right? What do these questions say about life and us? You know, what do you think was going on? You know, many attribute this to David. A lot of Psalms get attributed to him. And we know that his life had mountaintop experiences and lows as well. And where do you see yourself right now in this psalm? And have you found yourself in different places beside the still waters? You know, when are you, when do you feel close to God? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I heard an anthem about peace recently. Experiencing that peace, that sense of being at one with God and with others. So what renews your soul? All those are great questions. So when I was, I came back from our Guatemala mission trip. I have to tell you, I was on a mountaintop experience. Literally in Guatemala. We were on mountains in Guatemala. And there was something about working together, and I can't explain it, but, you know, to see over 2,400 patients in just four clinic days, you know, that just is unfathomable. And to think about our church and people offering their gifts and resources and what can be accomplished when we unite together, and it was just phenomenal. And see how lives are transformed. Many people, for the first time, they saw a trained physician. So we came home, and the next, literally got back Saturday night, Sunday morning, we had our youth Sunday. And as I was thinking about it, I'm thinking, you know, my cup runneth over with just gratitude. One, that you come back after a busy week and you experience an incredible youth Sunday. You know, we always hear the bad stuff about youth, right, on news. But to see our youth participate and hear these folks sing a song accompanied on a ukulele, which I never even thought was able to provide enough music, but they did just a beautiful job. And to know that, you know, for some that have grown up in this church, that maybe this runs in the family. But to think about how many years of working together. In fact, we're getting ready to celebrate Anne-Marie's 15th year with us. And the joy of seeing her kids grow and, you know, mature. And that we're part of a church that believes in youth that are, you know, youth are the church of today. They're not just the church of tomorrow. And just how that they've owned their faith. And I don't know, you can see Jack barely on there, but when he was singing and to think about his own journey of faith with mountaintop experiences and lows and having to say goodbye to a family member, father, early on, and the difficulty and challenges. But to hear him sing about God's indescribable love at the Youth Sunday was phenomenal. Devin is someone who's grown up in this church, and she preached about the importance of our mission trips and having the opportunity to work with kids from different cultures and loving on them and them loving back, and how because of those events, it helped her to see there's more about life than just getting, but there's part of it is giving it away, and to know that our youth group has made an impact in her life. And how about Kyle's honest and vulnerable testimony during his sermon that he preached and being willing to put it out there and to say what a nice, loving community this church has been for him and his family, and thinking of just that we can love each other and be aware that some people might be going through some things that we have no idea about. But wasn't it great? A great affirmation of our youth group and our youth to come alongside him during a difficult season. And, you know, when we think about, is the church going to be here in the future? Well, at least these kids probably will be, of our confirmation class that have joined. And, you know, after the service, Anne-Marie, that Sunday after the Guatemala mission trip, I just found myself in tears, weeping with tears of gratitude. She said, "Are you okay?" I said, "I think so." But how great it is to be part of a congregation that is making a difference in the lives of our young people. And you can be thanked as well for supporting our youth. We weren't done yet. That evening and afternoon to come and hear a great concert and, just what a joy-filled day it was. And then to hear some of the stories from Joseph Martin and hearing our choir use their gifts. And here's a little Annabella. Annabella, raise your hand. Or stand up. Okay, go ahead, stand up. Annabella was a valedictorian at Texas Southern University and went through the... And she was on the news yesterday morning. And, again, we hear all these millennials and young people who don't go to church. And she's from the Cameroon. She is here almost every week at the 8:15 service. She was up a little late last night, I could tell. And but the importance of faith and having a relationship with other folks in our congregation and welcoming her and just to see God's love in her and got connected with, she's trying to go into medicine, and she goes, Pastor Paul, do you know any doctors? And I said, well, I know a couple doctors, and, well, I need to shadow one. Could you figure that out? And I said, well, I can ask David Chenault. He's very busy. Don't get your hopes up. Bah, 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 bah. David and Annabella have connected, and she was able to shadow him for a few days, and just that relationship that started. And I was thinking how great it is that David Chenault, who's busier than anybody, goes down to Guatemala, but then still finds time to help mentor someone who's looking about going into the medical field. And I think we're going to take Annabella on one of these Guatemala mission trips. And then Stephen, great friends with Abby, and what a gift Stephen is to life. And a little over a week ago, I had an opportunity to meet with Stephen, and just a grace-filled young man who's gone through, talk about valleys, and waiting for a heart and getting close. At one point, they had a heart, but then the surgeon didn't feel like it was the right one, and these ups and downs, and then getting the word that he got a heart. And what a gift and joy-filled moment for him, and continued with their prayers. But even while he was in the hospital, he and Phil hooked up, and just the way that we can use the gifts and the presence that we have to help people when they're in valleys, and just a joy. So then my cup runneth over. So then on Wednesday, we were saying thank you to the Thomases and who have poured their lives into our young people. And they're moving closer to family in Kansas and thinking what a gift this church has been for their family. Ron and Heather met in this church and as a result got married, had kids, involved in the children's ministry and Christian education, and then with the youth. And they give up their weeks of vacation to travel with kids to Oklahoma and to Puerto Rico and Panama and different places, pouring their lives every week into teaching Sunday school. And, we're thinking, what a gift. Yes, it's sad. They're the greatest neighbors anybody could have. I know. They're my neighbors. But at the same point, what a blessing it has been for our congregation to see people with faith and that they live it out in the way that they care for others. And you think your cup is runneth over, right? Let me read this to you. It says, Margaret and Bill Ginder have donated a scholarship in memory of Mr. Richard Nazarian, who always showed generosity to the children he encountered. Their gift is to honor the spirit of giving, which continues through Mr. Nazarian's son and the Ginder's church pastor, Dr. Paul Nazarian. A quarter to turn into a scholarship for a young person that's trying to go to college. And so I had the privilege of giving out the scholarship this past week and thinking, what a great church it is to be part of a place where people are taking quarters and multiplying them by a lot to try to help with a young person and education and caring for someone. And so let me just say this. I'm going into the sabbatical in a little different spot. But what a privilege it is to serve a congregation that is intentional about caring for our pastors. My brother pastored a church for 26 years and never went on a sabbatical. I don't say that to dog their church as much to say is what a blessing it is to be at this church and to have an opportunity to get away, to get some time for restoration and renewal. I hope there's going to be some grandbaby time together and be able to experience it. But then to come back, because I'm still fired up about our church. I love it that we're getting involved in other issues that I believe are making a difference in the lives of people. I think that's terrific. I love it that we try to get involved in some of the school shootings to understand, you know, what's going on and what can we do? How can we light a candle in doing some of these different things? Our strategic plan is looking at our 2020 vision of what do we believe God's vision for us as we enter into this next decade, to think about what God is calling us to do and believe that God is calling us to a mighty work in a powerful way. And so I'm looking forward to coming back. We have a phenomenal staff. It really is fun going to work and working hard, but at the same point enjoying each other and being there for people that are going through different times. It's not always the case, but it's a wonderful season. And knowing that Anne-Marie and David and Chelsea and a whole mess of other folks are here, that you could help Anne-Marie out by paying your full pledge for the remainder of the year today. So she doesn't have to worry about any of the financial stuff during the summer when it gets a little challenging. But being part of a wonderful congregation that is very gracious and generous. So I want to say thank you for this, and looking forward to coming back and sharing with you. But in the meantime, where are you in this psalm today? Where would you like to be? In James, it says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. I do believe God is with us all the times, but when we make that step, when we say, you know what, I do want to grow closer to God. I'm going to read through the scriptures each day, or I'm going to try something out. I do believe we experience God's presence in our lives. And maybe you're in a valley. And maybe God wanted you here today just to reaffirm the fact that even though it might be challenging, God will help you through this valley. I believe it. I believe there's going to be challenges that we all face. Ultimately, even death. And yet, that's not the final word. And so, I do believe that God's presence is with us. And I also believe everyone needs a church home. And we are called to that same ministry of presence, that same ministry of incarnation that helps us get into the valley with people, whether they're waiting for hearts or they're going through different procedures, or where they're just a youth that's trying to figure out how does he or she live a more healthy life. Each of us are called to be there for other people. Let's pray together. How about silently? Think about where you are and where you would like to be. And maybe you're going through a valley, and tell that to God. Or maybe you know someone, And maybe you can reach out in a way and bless them. Lord, we admit sometimes we just go with the flow. And before we know it, we're just going through the motions. And we miss out on experiencing the green pastures, the still waters, even the deep valleys or the tall mountain peaks. And Lord, help us to come alongside others that we know that are going through difficult times, to share your love in tangible ways just by being with them and reminding them of your love and our love for them. In Christ's name, amen. So our affirmation of faith is another paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. Let's stand and state this together. You, O God, are our shepherd. You provide everything we need. You let us rest in green meadows and lead us beside quiet streams. You renew our strength and guide us in ways that bring honor to your name. Even when we walk through difficult valleys, we will not fear, for you never are far away, protecting and comforting, guarding and guiding every step we take. You prepare a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. You welcome us as friends and lavish your blessings on us. We know that your goodness and unfailing love will continue to pursue us all the days of our lives, and that after our lives here are over, we will spend eternity in your presence. Please be seated. Ever from the beginning, Stuart can attest to this, our church at the heart of who we are is our mission in trying to make a difference in the lives of people. We've seen it in different ways, and we're still called to do it. How has God blessed you to bless others? God bless you as you give your morning tithes and offering.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, accept these gifts we offer today as a token of our gratitude. As we hit the speed bumps in our hectic lives, give us the